Hey friend, it's David Nabinski here in Brooklyn. Here at Portfolio Career Podcast, we help you take ownership of your portfolio career. So excited for this roundtable episode with Rebecca Garcia and Melissa Wong. As you may know, I'm always really fascinated and want to help you get started, launch a new project, change jobs, add a new project to your portfolio career, and truly have some of the tactics and stories and experiences of how people are in the trenches, building things, getting started, finding clients. And today's episode is no exception. This episode is about how to find initial coaching clients and to grow a side income stream through coaching while also having a full-time job. Both Rebecca and Melissa both have this situation, and I'm so excited to share the insights for you. As you may remember, Rebecca was a prior podcast guest with on episode 64 called Empowering and Coaching Women in Tech. In this episode, you'll learn how Rebecca's coaching work has evolved and how Melissa is getting started, finding clients, and getting the word to spread and utilizing her existing relationships and the trust that she has with them to collaborate with them and more. So if you're interested in getting started in coaching and really want to learn the early beginnings and how things evolve and some lessons learned already, this episode is for you. As always, this episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There, you can subscribe to my newsletter called One Email Away, which has the best insights from the podcast and friend source to opportunities. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Here we go with Rebecca and Melissa. So I had earlier this week, someone asked me a question and said, what kind of coaching do you offer, David? And I don't currently offer coaching. and I just thought it was an interesting question that somebody asked me that going into our conversation here on like how to get started coaching. And maybe this was a start of something, who knows, but it just was an interesting, unprompted type of question. So I thought it could be a good way to kind of kick off the conversation of just, how did you get started? How did you kind of see the first client? Was it actually a client or was it a friend? Any kind of initial thoughts on that? Would love to talk about it. And Melissa, maybe you could start.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you and I, David, met through a summit for full-time professionals looking to go freelance called Hustle Fest that I co-produced a few years ago. And I bring it up because one of our marketplace offerings to the people who are looking to transition was an opportunity to sort of speed date with some different career coaches. And at the time of putting that together, I hadn't actually worked with a career coach myself. But what followed was actually my first actual experience of like, what does it actually feel like to be guided by someone during a transitional time, which I've had many, especially, yeah, professionally. So I think it helped for me to get started to know like, what is coaching? It's such a big amorphous word that having some experience with it kind of demystified it a little bit. And yet it wasn't until a couple of years later that it really started kind of appearing back on my radar. And I don't know, life's kind of funny, right? Where you start just seeing little threads emerge. And I'm not going to say that the universe kind of struck me over the head and said, oh, Melissa, become a coach. But one thing or another led me to sign up to a first fundamentals kind of workshop. I've been training with CTI, the Coactive Training Institute. And what I liked about their approach is try it out and see, okay, now stepping into the coach role, how does it feel? How does it feel to work with practice clients? And so I'd say the process was iterative for me, but what really also had to coincide at the same time was me seeing or having some perception of society viewing coaching differently than it had when it first got on my radar. Because I felt like judgment about, oh, you're like life coach. What kind of validity does that have? Sort of the wild, wild west. And as coaches have done a great job more and more, speaking to accreditation, kind of upholding certain standards and more people signing up for coaching, it felt like, aha, people are, they're trusting this. And so this could be a valid thing to really invest myself in. So interest aligning with, you know, societal sense that like this could be a viable path. And then really, yeah, it's just been in the program from there.
Awesome. I love that. Rebecca, did you see similar types of threads or did it completely come out of left field? Maybe talk to us a little bit about your perspective.
Yeah, that's a great question. So for me, I had sought out coaches for different things in the past. So finance, where I was like, okay, it's not that I wanted a like financial planner, but I wanted somebody to like work with me and like co-create with me. And I think, Melissa, to your point about coaching and the perception of it, I think oftentimes we might confuse coaching in the beginning with consulting, with somebody who's going to tell you what to do, which I think it's a little bit different. I'm a big fan of the co-active model. I've been going through the book and it's more of a, how can somebody co-create, hold the space for you to be accountable? Not that they're like a fitness coach or instructor who's like pointing a finger and saying we need 10 more pushups per se, but they're there to like support you with their unique knowledge. And so the way that I found my way into coaching was actually, I used to be giving up my lunch breaks for coffee meetings all the time from young women who used to reach out to me and say, you know, hey, I want to get into tech or I want to get into this next level in my career. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is not sustainable for me to keep like meeting, you know, meeting them and then not really feeling like they're getting the most value. In terms of like, yes, they got some informational knowledge from me, but I was also kind of repeating my story again and again. And like, I was like, okay, that's nice, but what can I do to help take them further? And so a couple of friends and I had actually started offering coaching sessions and trying to kind of find that container where we could help some of these women to hold themselves accountable. And I think there's also a big differentiation between mentorship and coaching, because I think mentorship is fantastic. However, it's also a lot of times it's just feedback. It's not necessarily that space to really fully feel accountable. It's kind of like feedback, but with like a friend who's like older, more experienced sometimes, not always the case, versus like a coach should ideally have their own methodology or experience that they bring to the table that they're going to help kind of like facilitate essentially. So that's kind of what I've been doing for the last 3 years. And it's funny, David, you and I had met at Cave Day, which was a couple of years ago at an in-person, you know, kind of like hackathon for whatever you're working on. And they did actually have a coach there as well. And you could sign up for a time slot and kind of get the experience of somebody coaching as in like asking you questions that are going to help you to think through your thoughts and kind of transform. And I think that's a difference as well from like consulting or mentorship, right? Asking somebody to ask you those questions that's going to help you inform your own strategy and your direction. And I think it's important because oftentimes we're very stuck in our head and we're very much listening to all this feedback and, you know, not really making decisions from a place that feel aligned with who we are, where we want to go, because sometimes we haven't sat down and thought about those things for ourselves, or we're ruminating and we're not like making the decisions and taking the action. So that's how I fell into coaching.
Yeah. Rebecca, I love your distinction between the sort of mentorship title and, you know, I just envision women who wanted to meet with you during these lunch coffee hours to pick your brain. And what I so love about coaching is the fact that you see people empower themselves by asking questions. And I've kind of made a connection when I did this Hustle Fest event that I mentioned. I was running an event space for women called New Women Space. And I know that you serve women as a coach, kind of getting them into the tech industry. One thing that's frustrated me is seeing how many events for women are about gaining confidence or beating imposter syndrome, and knowing that like that's probably there for a reason because people keep showing up to them, but still feeling a little bit frustrated of like, how come it's, you know, for women, I guess, why are these things showing up? Or is it just that women are less afraid to ask or admit to these things? But regardless, I've found for myself that when when I've asked, say, like a manager for a question and they turn it around on me and say, well, what do you want? That's really a game changer. And it's a reframe of like, oh, I guess I do have an opinion. And I feel like coaching can just be sort of like one long process of that, of really letting the person realize that they have their own answers.
Mm. And so that, to be clear, that kind of prompt is the, like, what do you want? And you could really kind of unpack that over and over and over again. And maybe that could be, you know, a quick answer. And maybe that could be a, you know, a protracted plan to actually get there. And so does that, is that why there's different types of offerings as well, as to kind of assess, and how have you all tried to approach clients maybe differently? Of maybe there's like, Melissa, I know you've got group programs. I think Rebecca, you've had some group programs as well, some one-on-one programs. How does that type of, like, it depends on the type of problem someone's trying to solve. Is that kind of how you've approached some of the offerings? Is that right?
That's a good question. I think another piece, kind of piggybacking off of what Melissa was saying, I think it's not just the question answering. I think it's the forward future pacing. And I think this goes into your question around offerings as well. So, like, I think that's also a differentiation between therapy, right? A therapist is going to ask you questions, and usually they're related to your past or, you know, things that have kind of happened. And a coach is kind of like, okay, we can take into account your past, but like, let's think about your future. And so when I'm thinking about my offerings, I'm thinking about, I've kind of tailored them to what is that person's needs, and like, what is the time frame that we can start to work towards those goals. So for example, when I first started out, where in coaching, it was more of a consulting. And I think people were kind of like, oh, I just need like 3 visits and I'll have my whole like career planned. And Melissa, I'm sure you found like that's not always the case. It's not just like 3 sessions, 3 weeks. It's more like giving a little bit of space for people to take action, for them to make their own decisions, and to the and to get the feedback or the research or whatever it is that they need. So I'll give an example of career coaching. So usually I'll work with one-on-one with some of my clients where they are, you know, trying to move into their next role. So we'll be not just, you know, prepping their resume or doing, you know, interview prep, but they're actually going through the interview process. And so that can take some time and some back and forth. And then we're also helping them to figure out what their next 30, 60, 90 days in their new role will look like. So to try to condense that without all the information that you're getting in between, right? Because we don't know what, I don't know which company or job they'll land at, if that is the case, or they might also be trying to move into a new role within their company. So once that kind of information has settled out and they've taken that action, then we can kind of readjust from there. And that's how I'm able to help them in that capacity. And then I think group coaching for me is more around like higher level themes. So Melissa, you mentioned, you know, imposter syndrome and things like that. I'm realizing that for me, the gap, the reason I'm doing coaching is because I see a gap between traditional like executive coaching or leadership coaching that seems to be very focused on like, just be assertive and speak up. And to your point, Melissa, I think there's unique challenges that women face that we need to address and kind of go deeper and internal on, versus trying to like apply all of these outward tactics. So I think it just kind of depends on what the person's goals are, and then how, you know, what modality and what that coaching might look like.
Yeah. I think part of your job as a coach is to establish with your client, like what kind of coach you are, what they can expect from you, and what are the terms of the relationship you're designing with them. The way I see it right now is almost like I'm, think of Picasso. I was so impressed when I learned that Picasso knew how to paint like realistically, because all I had seen was his, you know, cubist work. And the idea that people, one strategy is to train in kind of a certain discipline and then find their own flavor and find their own style, I guess, is where I feel like I'm at that juncture, but still probably more on the, just let's get the realism down before you start going too crazy. But I think coaching is really creative. And so even when you're in a structure, you're creating with your your client, you're not just sort of this like, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? You know, like kind of a faceless container. You're in this relationship. And so I'm really excited at the prospect of, you know, learning and growing as my coaching business grows. Like, gosh, what does work? So I see group coaching as a way to kind of play with, you know, with interactions and the potential that happens with connection. But there's so many different ways to get creative with it.
Yeah. And the Melissa, have you thought about approaching companies at all and kind of offering as an in-house coach? I know a little bit newer to getting started, but I can imagine it's can be tough to slowly, you know, find clients, you know, have intro calls, and was wondering if you thought about that approach at all. And Rebecca, if you've got any insights on that, and maybe your type of offering is not as applicable or not, but would just love to hear either of your thoughts on scalability, I guess, or repeatability and making the process and kind of the work a little bit easier, given that it uniquely does have challenges of
totally
finding people. Yeah.
If I'm honest, I don't feel like working for a big company right now is very compelling to me. I've thought about having like signing up for one of the new wave coaching platforms, like I know BetterUp's in the news right now because of the royal family or whatnot, but you know, going out and running your own business and creating structure for yourself, what would it be like to have say 50% of your business kind of set through this existing kind of platform? And then you can really focus on the coaching itself and yeah, be a little less panicked, I guess, about getting your next client. That said, I do think I understand there are a lot of coaches out there. It's a crowded market. There's also a lot of people looking for coaches. And so how does someone choose you over someone else? And I think word of mouth has been really strong for me. That's what I'm hearing from a lot of other coaches. One way that you can maybe scale word of mouth is you make the connection with a partner organization. They rep you. They say, hey, this coach, we stand by. And then suddenly all the people in their organization, even if it's not like, again, like a big company, suddenly are looking at you and are saying, okay, well, if I'm trusting the organization that's trusting her, then I can probably trust her. So that's what I've been thinking about as I'm starting. Like, for example, I just did a group workshop and offered some coaching for a company I used to work for called Experience Lab. And they have students who are moving from college into internships. And, you know, that was suddenly 20 people who were ready to sign up for me just because I had that existing trust.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point. That's kind of a relationship that I've established with recruiting firms. So for the most part, I've done a lot of career coaching, and then that's kind of blended and moved its way towards mindset coaching for career-driven women and entrepreneurial women, especially women of color. And so I do work with some recruiting firms where they see it as it's a two-way street where I'm like, oh, I have a bunch of clients who might need, you know, are looking for new roles, and or, you know, they are looking for supporting their clients that are recruited into companies in the, you know, in the long term. They want them to be successful in roles. So that's kind of where my role as a coach can be. And I think to your point, David, in terms of scalability for like group coaching and thinking about corporate coaching, I think there's so many different, I think there's the conversation where it comes to like intersectionality and diversity and equity and inclusion, where not the same approach might not work for everyone. And so it can be a little bit hard. I think there's a difference between like a facilitator type of coach who goes into a company and it's like, we're going to do a design thinking lab, you know, and there's like a specific outcome. And then I've also seen coaches in larger companies where it's like, oh, we're going to, you know, coach on our team cohesiveness and kind of making sure that we're operating well. Or there's, you know, even coaches that, you know, coach on different methodologies like Scrum or Agile. So there's different variations, I think, of the coaches there. And then I think for me personally, as a coach doing more like group programs, I think, the transformation can also happen where, people start to normalize their experience. Because I think sometimes when they're working one-on-one with a coach, they can feel a lot of pressure to like get things done. And I think the group experience can kind of help open them up to like, oh, I'm not alone in feeling this imposter syndrome. And I feel a sense of community and connectedness that they didn't have before. And that's something that I've personally experienced as somebody who has hired business coaches and all sorts of coaches and enjoyed group programs in that aspect where you're not just kind of working off of the teacher-student relationship that sometimes it can feel like with a coach, but you're really feeling like a community. And that's been super helpful for me. I'll give an example, a more tangible example that's not business coaching is I'm doing a mindfulness teacher training and we break into smaller groups and we give each other feedback, and it kind of also enables the person going through a program to even start to see themselves as a coach. So I feel like I definitely recommend that if anybody is thinking of becoming a coach or formalizing their coaching or mentorship, definitely go into an experience of coaching so that you can have a sense of what you want your style and delivery to be.
And do you see is there a distinction between, or should there be a distinction of like tangible outcomes in the sense of like, I want to help people get a job. And then Melissa, like, I think some of your work is more like innovative thinkers or outside the box. And, you know, is that probably a good place to kind of start for when someone's like, you know what, I have some unique experiences. Some people send me emails or, you know, ask me about what I'm doing or ask to pick my brain. Do you think that is a good way to think about is like, is this a thinking and collaboration type of relationship, or is this a outcomes type of like relationship where it's resume, it's interview prep? Any thoughts on those types of situations?
Yeah, I've been experiencing kind of and getting to know that spectrum. On the one hand, people who are like, I would love you to review my resume. I want to make sure that like, you know, I'm getting X amount of interviews, and they're a bit more like metrics and outcomes oriented. And then I even have clients that are a bit more like in their own spiritual evolution. And it's harder for me sometimes to even know what outcomes we could even measure other than sort of self-reporting personal learnings. I think people come to coaching when they're looking for some kind of change in their life. And so with that desired change is some kind of outcome, even if it's tangible, like certain salary at a certain job, or the more intangible of like, I just feel more at ease with myself right now. And I think what I like about the coactive model that I've been trained under is there's the active piece, and then the co actually kind of represents the like being with. And so I think, you know, balance, right? Not gunning and only it being about like the outcomes, but how do I want to be? How do I want to show up? And how does that actually relate to the action? But again, I think it will come down to like the personal coach and then the unique relationship between the coach and the client as far as what outcomes and measurement look like. But what I like also thinking about is at the start of a coaching engagement, you might ask them for like, what are your goals? Like say it's 6 months down the road or even 3 months. What do you want to have happened? And let's make that like kind of tangible. And then my job as a coach is to hold that like bigger agenda so that every session I'm meeting with them, even if the topic kind of feels, you know, differentiated from that bigger goal, I'm tracking toward it and I'm continuing to tether the person back to it to hold them accountable to this initial goal. And if suddenly I start feeling like, oh, you said you wanted to change your job, but suddenly we're talking about, you know, you moving cities and a relationship change or whatever it is, then I might check back in and be like, this goal about changing careers still resonant for you? Should we redesign this or should we actually get back on track towards that? Yeah, what do you think, Rebecca?
Yeah, I think you brought up a good point about like the balance between the tangible and the intangible. And I think initially that's where I started with the very tangible for my career coaching of, okay, let's get your resume done. Let's get your interviews done. And then I realized that I helped a lot of these women into the, you know, we technically met their goals at the surface of like, okay, they got this new role, they got this salary increase. But then I realized that I wanted to support them on like, on a deeper level in terms of like mindset and how to like unblock themselves when they come up across blocks? Because usually there people are going to a coach when they are like, yeah, I've been thinking about this thing and I just haven't done it yet. Or like, I want somebody to hold me accountable. Or technically on the surface, right, all of the answers are in Google, right? You just start a business to get that next job. All the answers are there, right? But the coach, you know, coaching container is that the coach is like, hopefully giving you the like tactics and strategies and tools that are like, they feel are, you know, tried and tested and are going to like work for you in that situation. But I also think going deeper, you know, for me, the next piece is like, how can I help teach clients to learn to unblock themselves when they're coming up against like, oh, I don't think I can do this. You know, I don't, you know, like I don't have enough time. And there's this, you know, I think instilling that the belief and the mindset within them that they can do it, which again, to the co-active like coaching model and coaching overall, you can't do those things if somebody's not willing. Like they have to want the change themselves. And so it's less about trying to say like, okay, this is your deliverable, this is your outcome. But to your point, Melissa, like working with them to co-design that, and then also kind of coaching them through their thought process and kind of helping them to shift some of their beliefs that I think are holding them back. Because that's oftentimes what I'm seeing is like, it's not that I think all of them are capable of achieving all of their goals and outcomes, but how can I as a coach kind of like help them shift their thinking a little bit? That's kind of the next piece that I've moved into is beyond getting them into their next job. How can I give them things that they'll take away? Not just the interviewing skills, but knowing that things are possible for them and how I've unblocked myself or worked through my imposter syndrome as well.
I wanted to turn it to David for a second because he might have mentioned that he actually does have some coaching experience. And so just bringing in kind of a third perspective, what was working with was the podcast workshop?
Yeah. So in 2018 and 2019, I was, you know, right after I launched a podcast, then I threw the podcasting fellowship at the time. Now it's called the podcasting workshop, which is an Akimbo workshop, that was initially created by Seth Godin. And the really cool thing about that role when I was coaching, it was like I was doing the same exact work. So I kind of considered it like a coaching on the job. Like I'm publishing podcast episodes every week and, you know, I'm just a couple steps ahead of you. And I love that work. I thought that was a really interesting dynamic as well in terms of like, you know, I'm letting like kind of the work and kind of show other people what I'm doing, so to speak. And so I'm not sure how many other types of dynamics there are like that, but I think that's a really cool and helpful dynamic to say, like, I know what you're going through. I was, you know, there 3-4 weeks ago or 2 months ago, and, you know, just here's one idea, or here's a question that I had before, and here's how I thought about answering it. So yeah, I love that experience. And then by teaching people and coaching them through that, it then helped my own work too. So as we're starting to wrap up here a little bit, I would love to hear just like how important is like finding potential people, like literally, you know, talking to roommates or talking to close friends and saying, hey, we've had these kind of conversations in the past. Like, I'd really like to work deeper with you. Or is it, you know, getting a website and posting online? Or like, how do you think about that? And how do you think from your own experiences, like how could someone like get started in the next like 30 to 60 days?
Yeah, I think comes back to trust again, I think, right? With so many different options, how do people find out about you? And so for me, I started with people that already trusted me. So I had been fortunate to really make some strong connections in when I ran my community event space. So I realized that not everyone has the existing career that's focused on community building, but chances are, you know, some people. And I just, you know, you get good at asking for help and putting yourself out there. And so at the start, it's like, hey, I'm really excited about this thing. Could you support me in my journey by being one of my practice clients? And, you know, I did that and had, say, four or five women sign up to do just three calls with me. It was free. And then when I followed up to say, hey, do you want to stay on? A couple of people said, I'm good. That was fun. Some people said, yeah, I do. And they're still with me today. So I think, you know, start with people that know you, that you already kind of have that trust with. And it also comes down to what you want your business to look like. So knowing that there are only so many hours in the day and so many, you know, so much of your own steam and energy that you can offer, what kind of like pipeline of clients are you really looking for? And I mean, that's going to dictate your marketing strategies, even though I'm sure everyone would ideally like to have a wait list of some kind. But for me, it's just in starting out, it's be as real as I can be. Try not to like over stress my network because I don't want to feel like I'm spamming them again and again, but also trust that I'm putting out into the world these seeds of this is what I'm doing and that flowers are going to start popping up at different intervals without me being able to predict it. But I'm just starting out. So I know Rebecca has a couple years on me.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely a good way to start, you know, through your network and through people who might, you know, have similar things that they've worked through or want support on. A couple things for me come to mind. So I think getting clear on who it is and what problems they're trying to solve. So I think one way to do that that I recommend to people is like go into Facebook groups. If you are trying to serve, for example, somebody similar to you, you know, I would go into a group that's, you know, for career-driven women or entrepreneurial women, right? And so that would give you the best way to like direct access to quote unquote the market and to see what problems they're trying to solve. And so for me, for career coaching, you know, I'm a part of like the, you know, pretty large women in tech communities. And I started to see very common themes, right? So, oh, I need help with my resume. I'd like help with interviewing. Like those were some of the problems. And then the next kind of level part of it is to figure out what it is that they think they need, but then give them what they actually need in coaching, right? So a lot of women might come to me because resume seems like the clear part of getting their next role, right? It is a piece, it's important, but the even deeper piece might be the interviewing and the mindset that work that kind of comes with it. And the other piece I think that's really helpful as for anybody who's starting out is if you are doing like those pro bono sessions, that's something I did is I was like offering kind of like they started as 30 minutes and I kind of brought them down to like 20 or 15 minutes because I was getting a lot of demand for them, is getting feedback or testimonials that somebody found like your strategy session helpful. And then that will help you to also build towards paying clients. Because it's one thing to say like, oh, I can help you in these ways versus like somebody saying like, wow, that, you know, session was so helpful. I got clear action steps on what I want to do next. And building upon that helped me to build my coaching base by offering those sessions. And I do still offer them as well as also kind of like a pro bono, like community kind of give back as well.
Amazing. I could keep talking about this for a long time, but so I'd love to just learn how prospects, people can learn more about your work if you just quickly provide website or social. And yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks, David. Yeah, I agree. Could keep talking about this, but you can find me at melissalinwong.com. That's my website. And there are links all over it to book time with me. Love to meet you.
Anybody can come find me at my new website, which will be at mindsetcoachforwomen.com. So especially any career-driven or entrepreneurial women who are working through imposter syndrome or, you know, making their next career or business move. And you can also find me on Instagram at mindsetcoachforwomen. But yeah, excited to connect. And thank you so much, David, for inviting me. I think this was such a great conversation.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
Hey, friend. Thank you for tuning in to this special episode of Portfolio Career Podcast. Would love to hear what you learned and what you enjoyed. You can find me on Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, whatever is best for you. And as a reminder, I'm just one email away as well. This episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There you can subscribe to my newsletter called One Email Away, which includes the best insights from the podcast and friend-sourced opportunities. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Thank you so much.